This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
After the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back into this final hour of the whole show today on this Tuesday, January 13th. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Joining me now on the First Advantage Hotline, we've got Brian Howe, Colorado Buffaloes beat writer for Buff Zone and the Boulder Daily Camera. Brian, pretty big news coming out of Boulder with the news that Jordan Seaton will be entering the transfer portal, man. Big shock to you, or did you see this coming?
No, not a shock. Only that he waited so late. I think there was a lot of talk towards the end of the season, the way that the 2025 season ended, that, you know, a lot of people were like, well, Seton's gone. You know, I mean, they expected a lot of the top players to leave. And the fact that the portal opened on January 2nd and what was yesterday, the 12th, and he wasn't in there yet. It's like, oh, maybe he's going to stay. And then here, you know, not final hour, but in the last couple of days, he puts his name in the portal. So I guess surprised in the timing of it. I thought that if he was going to go, why not go right away?
Yeah, well, and I guess that leads us, lets our minds kind of wander a bit. What happened in that process from January 2nd to now? We obviously, you just wonder who got to him, you know, who got to him, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing, is we can only speculate on it because, you know, people at the CU aren't going to talk. Jordan's not going to talk about it right now. And the timing of it leads me to believe that his agent was working behind the scenes, and they found out what his dollar value was, and that there's no way CU could match it. And so he's going to hit the portal because, and who knows what the figures are going to be, but I mean, we're seeing things that, you know, he could command $3+ million somewhere else. And see, you can't afford that for any player, even a star left tackle. So we're going to see him land at some place that we know has a lot of money.
How much money are we talking, Brian? Have you seen, like, what he's on? It's weird to say, but, like, the free market now? It's free agency? Yeah. What is his market value right now?
I've seen in the $3 to $4 million range. I mean,
wow.
And that's a lot of money, you know. to think of what college sports has been forever, right? And to think that, you know, a kid can make that, you know, is insane. I mean, look, he's... you look at the 24/7 rankings. I looked at him last night. He's the number four rated guy in the portal. The top three ahead of him are quarterbacks that have all committed. So a star left tackle, you're going to pay premium for it. And so he's going to get a lot of money. And the bottom line is CU just doesn't have a lot of money. They don't have that much money to give to one player.
How do you build a roster now? I don't understand. For guys like Coach Pry, any coach, like, It's not just winning. It used to be, hey, if you start winning and you got something going, something special, that could attract people. More often than not, it's about money. I don't know how you do it when every year you got to replace. You think you've got your tackle position figured out. You think you've got this position figured out. This position. Well, no, you don't. You really don't have anything figured out.
Yeah. I've used the analogy that I think the Buffs, and it's not just the Buffs, I think there's a lot of schools in this same boat. But since we're talking about the Buffs, I think the Buffs are sort of like the Moneyball Oakland A's.
Mm.
The Yankees, quote unquote, are going to steal your big players every year. And so you've got to build a roster with the money you have left. And so, yeah, if you're, I don't know what they were paying Jordan Seaton, let's say it's $1 million. And now he's gone. Well, now you got to take that $1 million and see if you can find three players. you know, and that's the money ball approach, right? And I think that's what the Bucks have to do is they got to – and they're going to find some guys that are a little more high-priced. You got to pay a premium for that. And we're seeing some guys in the portal you get excited about right now. You know, a linebacker that was a starter at Texas and safety that was a starter at Vanderbilt. Those probably command a little bit more than a guy that was from JMU, right? So they're going to have to pick and choose where they spend their money.
Brian Howell joining us, Buff Zone. And that's what's so crazy is, like, we're told there's this threshold, this salary cap, but that doesn't exist either. That's like an imaginary line, Brian. We're told, what is it, 23 million, something like that, that we're that there's teams are supposed to have. But then when you add in the external NIL deals, there's no cap on that. That can go on for as high up as your donors will allow it to go.
That's right. You know, and it's $20.5 million. That's for the entire athletic department.
Wow.
For revenue share. And so football at CU is going to get about a little more than 75% of that. And so, you know, $15-plus million you've got for your roster there. And, yeah, and then it's – I mean, all the Texas Tech money that you're seeing, that's above that. You know, Texas Tech is handling the 20.5, but then it's their big money donors. And, you know, the world of college sports right now is – you see things like it was last month, they're preparing for a bowl game. ASU head coach Kenny Dillingham, he said it sort of joking, but I know he's not. He's saying, hey, any rich people in Phoenix, come donate to us.
Yeah.
You know, and this model right now is, you know what, there's all this money flowing to college sports, so let's give it to the players, but actually there's not. So will somebody please give us some money?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a weird deal, and I don't like it. I don't mind the players making money, but there's got to be some regulation on what they're doing. There's regulation in everything else, in the pro sports, but there's not in college. It's insane.
Well, that's my biggest issue here. And again, this Damon Williams thing out of Washington, who knows if that's going to be a tone setter or a new tone setter for college sports, or was it more of a, hey, we just don't want to take the time to fight this right now. If he waits too long to fight this, he's not going to end up on a team. I still, like, you can't build a team every year if you're asked, hey, there's NFL money going to some guys, not all, to some guys, but there's no contracts. There's nothing that guarantees. So if I'm a donor and I say, hey, here's $5 million, use that how you will. Hopefully you can get that left tackle. Hopefully you can get that quarterback. And then both those guys leave. Am I really wanting to throw another $5 million? Because there's no guarantee that my money's going to keep those guys here.
Right. And that's what, you know, Sean Keeler from the Denver Post, you know, he wrote a story. You know, last week we had the AD press conference in Colorado. He talked to some donors. That's what they said is, look, I've given a lot of money over the years to this program, and, you know, then lately I give it to a player and he leaves, and I don't want to do that anymore. And so they're saying the exact same thing, and I don't know how you fix it. I mean, there's got to be something to where there's collective bargaining or there's some binding agreements. You know, what makes the NFL and pro sports great is, yes, you can sign guys to contracts, but then you know they're on the team, right? You know, you sign, and sometimes you don't want them. You know, you sign Chris Bryant to a long-term deal. Maybe you'd rather get rid of him.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, my theory is that, you know, you sign a Chris Bryant hoping he's good, and you've got him locked up for 5-6 years, you know, or, you know, Bo Nix or whatever, you know. But here in college sports, you don't. And, I mean, the portal's still open for a few more days. I think Buff fans still a little bit have to hold their breath. Is Julian Lewis still going to be here?
Mm.
You know, I mean, I think he is. I mean, he's always said he will be, and his father has come out and said it. But that portal's still open, and until it closes, I think you have to hold your breath on anybody on this roster.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And frankly, Brady, just to add to that, they've had 30-some guys commit. You have to hold your breath that they'll stay with CU because they're not locked in until they actually start classes. So you got to kind of hold your breath on the guys that have committed.
Yeah, that's the other thing, because we're back in classes now. There's no guarantee that all that goes through as smoothly as you want. And yeah, guys that you think are committing, that's the thing. Like, the major difference today in the business of the NFL and college football, specifically, if we're talking about those two, is I sign a free agent left tackle. Boom, that's done. That's out of my brain. Right. I've got that position taken care of. That is not the case in college football.
No, it's really not, and it's crazy, you know, because we've seen again, you mentioned Devon Williams at Washington. They signed him to a deal. All right, we're locked up. 4 days later, he puts his name in the portal. You're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What's going on here? So, yeah, you think you have those locked up. And it's not just Colorado. I mean, I was looking this morning, 37 guys from Colorado in the portal, 36 from Colorado State, 73 guys between those two teams are in the portal, which is insane. And, you know, the Rams lose their right tackle and their star linebacker, things like that. It's just you can't build a team anymore that's going to last. I mean, you have to go year to year. There's just no way you can really say this is my 3-year plan, you know.
Which is just so frustrating. You know, I'm watching, you know, you mentioned the Rams. I'm watching a Rams basketball game the other night. And I like the transfers. I got to know a few of them. They're cool guys. There's 2 to 3 guys that were in that game that played for them last year. No starters. Like, yeah. If I'm a fan, like, we're in the media stuff, it's different. But if you're just a fan, how do you latch on? You know, typically there's guys that you can really root for 2, maybe 3, maybe even 4 seasons, maybe beyond, and you really establish that connection. That's getting more difficult too. Brian, don't you also think the pressure on coaches is going to start changing? Because right now we are in that, you know, you're given like 2 years, 3 years. If you don't see an uptick quickly and then a big uptick in the second year, you're on the hot seat. But do you think administrations will now start viewing it differently, saying, well, I mean, how can Coach Prime or enter coach's name when we're dealing, we got 15 million and our competition's got 30 million? I mean, do you think the pressure on coaches might change or shift and all the focus will be more on the donor side of the ball?
Yeah, I think that sort of depends on the makeup of the AD. I think the pressure will ramp up for fans because, look, what Indiana's doing under Kurt Cignetti does not help a Coach Prime. It's not going to help Jim Mora. You know, if CU struggles this year, CSU struggles, they're going to be like, well, Indiana did it. Why can't you? You know, same with Texas Tech. I mean, they were fine last year. You know, CU went down to Lubbock and beat them pretty good. But then this year they're in the college football playoff. And like, well, if Texas Tech can do it, why can't we? The fans, I don't think, fully understand the monetary, you know, factors and all that. The ADs do. And I think it's going to depend on the makeup of your AD sometimes. And if they're fully understanding of this is what our athletic department is, then, yeah, I think there'll be some patience with that.
Brian Howell joining us from Buff Zone. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it was kind of weird with Jordan Seaton from the beginning, wasn't it? He was going to commit, then he didn't commit, and then he did ultimately commit. Wasn't it kind of a strange beginning for his career with Colorado?
His commitment was for sure. You know, and he's a kid that you could tell he loved that attention. You know, he was an offensive tackle coming out of high school. It's getting a lot of attention. That doesn't happen. I mean,
right.
Offensive linemen don't get a lot of attention anyway. He was enjoying it. You know, obviously he went on, wasn't First Take. I think it was Skip Show that he went on and made his announcement. And so I think he was enjoying that. But, you know, he was a pretty good Buff when he was here. And I got to know him a little bit. Fantastic young man. He loved being in Colorado. You know, he talked a lot about he never really thought he would like it here, but he grew to love it. But, you know, sometimes things happen and money changes your mind, losing changes your mind. So some things happen. It's just a crazy world, and it's hard to really count on anybody being there for 3 years. I mean, I posted a stat a couple weeks ago, or last week, I think, that, you know, we're only in early 2026. Coach Prime's opening day roster of 2023 had 113 guys on it. 5 are left on this team. And they were all walk-ons that day.
Incredible. That is just...
Not one scholarship player from 2.5 years ago is left on this team.
That's insane, Brian. I mean, it's probably that way up and down the board nationally.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I get fans all the time asking, what's going on in Colorado? I'm like, well, have you looked at other teams?
Yeah.
You know, I just mentioned CSU. You know, Baylor has 30 guys in the portal. You know, there's... The good teams have 20 to 25 guys in the portal. So, it's just the nature of it. And if you win, you're going to keep more guys. And if you don't, you're probably going to lose more.
Yeah, and then there's the money thing. That's just, you know, that's there's so many variables now in order to keep a guy.
Yeah. And who knows what those variables are. Some of it people think there's a problem with the program. It's really not necessarily true. There could be, and it could be playing time. It could be I don't like that coach. It could be this team offered me $800,000, and I can only get $200 from CU. So it could be a lot of factors.
Bro, it's so wild. Like, you know, I read your stuff, but I have to admit, like with the transfer portal stuff, I can't keep track of it. So I'm just going to, Brian, when we get to August, you just tell me, you give me the depth chart, man. You tell me who's on this team.
I had a tweet a couple weeks ago. I said, it was when the mass exodus. I said, you know what, at this point, I don't even care who's coming and going. Just hand us a roster on March 1st.
Yes. Yeah. Give me a roster that I can look at.
I will say, Brady, the one thing I like about this year is that this is the one portal window. Because what you've had in the last 2 years is you have all this going on now, and then you have to deal with it again in April. And so I'm glad that there's not that this year. And once this week is over, there'll be some more guys that are added, but no more names will go in after this week. Once this week is over, the dust will settle a little bit, and you'll start to really figure out who your rosters are.
Do you see another edit to this window where it's pushed back a little more, so we're not dealing with, like you mentioned to start the show, where we're not dealing with, okay, now we got to make sure they can get enrolled to classes and all that stuff, get it a couple weeks beforehand if that's possible?
I think so. The calendar seems to have changed every year for about 7-8 years, so it probably will. It seems like there's a lot of momentum for a calendar change as far as like when the season starts and ends and the portal window and things like that. So I would expect it to be tweaked a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if they pushed it maybe up a week to where it's maybe December 26th to, 14 days after that. So there's something will change because it's changed every year.
Brian Howell, great work from you, man. I saw that, like you kind of said, it wasn't a major shock with this day and age of football, but yeah, the timing of it was no doubt difficult. Good news, though, you did mention a few other tackles that the Buffs have signed, some pretty significant gets for the Buffs. I don't know if it'll be much to ease the minds of fans at this point, but you noted that yesterday about some of the guys that will be signing with Colorado.
Yeah, and there's no Jordan Seaton in the mix, obviously, but, they signed a kid, Bo Hewley, from Georgia yesterday. That he was a backup, but, I mean, going into their bowl game, the Sugar Bowl, he was the top backup at both left and right tackle. He made one start at each of those spots this year. There's another kid that was I'm blanking on where they're from, but he was a starting tackle this year at his FBS or his Power 5 school. So there's guys that they've brought in that have got experience. Plus, the two guys that started at right tackle this year are both still on the roster. So there's about five or six legitimate tackles on this team. You're just not going to have Jordan Seaton. And does he make that huge of a difference? I don't know. Is he the difference between one and two games? I don't think so. But you're obviously going to be a little bit weaker there, but you got guys.
Brian, last one, and you mentioned it already, but with Julian Lewis, at least at this point, I know you said you might wonder about it, but is there any major cause for concern that he might chuck his name in that transfer portal?
No, I'm not concerned about it. It sounds like he's been pretty locked in. His dad is fairly active on social media, and he posts a lot of things. He's posted comments on guys leaving. It sounds like they're locked in. I'm not worried about him. It's more of just one of those things that, this day and age, who knows? If there's a team desperate enough for a quarterback, as the portal is closing, and they come up and say, "Look, we'll give you $3 million," then money talks. So I think you have to be concerned a little bit because of the portal window, but I'm not concerned about him, if that makes sense.
Do you think we'll get very soon, we'll have something like contracts in place so we can stop this? Because that what you just said, and what you said is correct, but it's ridiculous. We're almost done with this transfer portal window, but if a team that's desperate for a quarterback suddenly throws out $3 million, he's gone. That cannot continue, can it?
I don't think so. I think it's got to change. Coaches are going to be fed up with it. I'm sure they are. People are fed up with it. I think it's going to change just because there's got to be some regulations. I don't think anybody, when they started changing the rules, anticipated it would be like it is right now. I think there were some good intentions with, letting NIL and, let's open the transfer portal so that they can transfer as many times as they want.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think they anticipated it was going to be this free-for-all every single year where there's legitimately like a third of the FBS in the transfer portal, which is insane. And you mentioned basketball. It's not just football. I mean, I cover the CU women's basketball team, Brady, and they had a game the other day. I can't remember who they played. I think it was Cincinnati. I'm not sure. But between the two teams, they played each other last year. And between the two teams, there was one girl that had been in last year's game.
It's wild. It's wild.
I mean, CU has 13 players on their team, the women's basketball team, and 10 are new.
Unreal.
Yeah, it was Arizona, because Arizona's team is entirely new. They had one player back from this last year, and she's hurt. So when they played Arizona, there was one girl in that entire game that had played in last year's matchup.
Yeah, they've got to fix it. Got to find a way somehow, Brian. We'll see. I'm guessing when it gets so loud, and it's as loud as it's ever been, maybe that will mean something. But then again, it's the NCAA. So I don't know. I don't know, man. We'll see.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. It's the NCAA.
Brian, appreciate you, man. As always, excellent work from you. And we'll look to catch up with you soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks.
All right, Brian Howell, Buff Zone. It is, well, a couple things come to mind. You know, Coach Prime, when he entered and his first address to the team, to the current team when he got here, which was Carl Durrell's team, it was the speech about, you know, I'm bringing Louie with me. You know, you just get ready. Because I'm bringing studs in here. That's what the whole Louie conversation was, Mike. And now, so I guess I'm not going to sit here and be like, well, poor Coach Prime. Like, he can't, it's not on him that his guys are leaving. But that was kind of what he did to the lesser players, you know. He was like, hey, pack your bags if you're not good, because I'm bringing Louie with me. That's what I'm doing. And now other guys are saying, hey, we're going to get Louie and we're going to go get yours. We're going to bring ours in, our studs, because we got the money. It does suck, and it's not on Coach Prime, but at the same time, he was one of the first guys that really utilized the portal. I mean, he was at the beginning of all this. He was one of the main ones, one of the big names that said, I'm going to overhaul an entire roster with the portal. And now it's kind of the reverse is happening because the money is out there. Because there's more money now, and we're getting a lot more loose with it, depending on the school you talk to. And this salary cap of 20.5 is fake. That is an imaginary line, Michael. It's not real. They're saying schools can spend $20.5 million. But that doesn't exclude NIL deals, endorsement deals. They're able to negotiate with other donors and get commitments from those donors to say, hey, you good for $5 million? Because we've already used up our budget. We got to go find another 20. We got to double that number. And that's what they're doing. Ohio State had $40 million before wasn't it 30 or $40 million before we even got to the salary. There is no salary cap. And there never will be in college sports. NFL, it's done. I always wondered why professional sports didn't do that. You had the Clippers story. Was that Kawhi and the Clippers? Where there was, hey, here's your contract, but to get you to the number you really want, we've got an external force here that will cover the rest of that, an endorsement deal. I've always wondered why pro sports don't do that more. The Nuggets are threatening the apron. Can you not go out and find endorsement deals to come in and he wants 20, but you can only afford 15 legally to stay within a certain apron? Can you find $5 million in endorsement deals? I'm guessing that probably happens. Sometimes when you see guys take a team-friendly deal, you wonder how much money did they make on the other side.
When Justin Simmons was cut partially because of, you know, salary cap, I was hoping, and I'm like, oh, I wish I had money because I would pay him a lot of that salary so he could stay with the Broncos.
So you could help them cheat.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of wanted to do that. Like, I don't know if it's cheating.
Yeah,
I'd pay him.
I've always
off
wondered
the books, just, if here's $8 million.
If that's
you sign.
If that's what's going on, and maybe that is. But look what happened. You know, the Clippers are still kind of dealing with that under investigation and stuff. In college, you just can't tighten anything up. You can't, because you get sued. Fortunately for these pro sports leagues, they got ahead of the game. They knew where the sport was going. They had a collective bargaining agreement where the players sign it and the team sign it, the owners sign it, and they all come together as one. Maybe they don't agree on everything, but they ultimately got some paperwork signed. That's not happening. That's not happening. That doesn't exist. There is no collective bargaining agreement. When we say collective bargaining agreement, it means we all agree that this is how this business will be ran. That players would have to come in and say, okay, we agree that we won't transfer. We will sign minimum. Maybe they're all minimum two-year contracts. I think at the very least, you have a two-year contract. I also think that they should allow you one transfer free. You go, I'm going to transfer. Great. I don't have to sit out a year. But if you do it again, I think you should have to, there should be some kind of penalty. But they have to get to the point where these are two-year at least minimum deals. So you're not doing this every single. This is ridiculous. It's annoying now. And I was one of the naive guys that was like, can we let Johnny Manziel charge money for an autograph? Can we do that? We should be able to. He shouldn't get fined for that. He shouldn't get suspended for a half of a football game for charging X amount of dollars to sign an autograph. That's where I thought it might stop. But there was nothing. It could have stopped there. But there was nothing in place to say, okay, but you can't use this. The fact that we're hearing there is $4 million somewhere, maybe Texas, for Jordan Seaton, that's what I'm hearing, is an immediate red flag. Where I'm going, hey, where's that $4 million? Because you already used your salary cap. Well, it's a donor. I thought we said we couldn't use inducements. I thought we said we couldn't get a donor to throw money out there before they got here to pay him to play. Now, once he signs, but that's how they're doing it. But now they're just bold, Mike. Now they're just saying it out loud. They're flat out saying, we have $4 million for you. Where'd you get it? Donors. It's NIL. They weren't supposed to do that. But they couldn't regulate that. And now we just say it out loud. We couldn't say it 3 years ago. Now we just say it, 32 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show. Powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA.
For nuggets, games, and talk, keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling. Like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, Bo Nix this year has been at his best when teams are playing man coverage and putting pressure on him. That's when Bo Nix is typically taken off. In fact, his two highest scramble totals, according to the Denver Post, have come against the Chargers, both of those games where he was, those were the two highest pressure rates against Bo Nix. Harbaugh was trying to get after the young quarterback. In week 17 and 18, he scrambled 10 total times, and that was him running on a designed pass play. So when it's a designed run for Bo, this doesn't include that. This is when things break down or Bo quickly sees an opening and takes off. Now, that comes from when teams are in man coverage against him and they're sending some heat. You like to send heat when you are in man coverage. It kind of gives you man coverage. You typically are guarding tighter and you can sustain coverage for a short period of time while you send a blitz that can get to them, hopefully before that coverage breaks down. You don't see as many blitzes in a zone defense. What do the Buffalo Bills do primarily on the defensive side? They play zone coverage. And this is one to watch out for. They have a lot of split safety over-the-top shell coverage, according to 24/7. They will line up in that mode on defense, on that scheme, so that their safeties can protect the deep ball. They also have the ability to play up, but that's where you want them if you're the Broncos. But they are going to protect that deep ball. And they can get into modes where they will resort to heavy man coverage. But for the most part, they're playing in that zone. They don't blitz a lot, though. That also comes with playing zone defense. They're not putting that blitz on. So the question will be, and everything I keep bringing up for Bo Nix, is can he sit back in the pocket and pick apart a team, a defense, if a rushing lane is not quickly coming open to him? If I'm Bobby Babich, the defensive coordinator for the Bills, I'm going back and watching film. I'm probably not, but Bo Nix is not Tim Tebow. Let me just make that very clear. But Bo can move, not as powerful, but Bo can move a lot like Tim Tebow did. He just has the arm. He has the quarterback sense way more so than Tim Tebow. But when he decides, hey, snap the ball, wow, they're in man coverage and I'm seeing a blitz already to the left side, I'm going to shoot up in the middle of the pocket here and find a lane, he's going to take off. So that's where that's similar. That was very much a Tim Tebow thing. Make it very clear, not comparing the two. The question for Bo Nix is going to be, if Buffalo plays this the smart way and they play their zone defense and they make sure their safeties are over the top, there's not a strong run game for Denver. This will be on how Bo Nix and his receiving core can find soft spots in that Bills zone and move down the field. That's why I'm saying, in order for the Broncos to move on to that next level, it's going to have to be, I believe, truly, Josh Allen's going to find a way to get his numbers in this game. I don't know why. I thought the Broncos' defense had the best defense for most of the year. I feel like the Texans are quite a bit ahead of where Denver was, in my mind, 5-6 weeks ago. Because not only do they make stops, they create turnovers and game-changing plays. Denver's defense makes stops. They don't create game-changing plays. They just haven't done it. So aside from that, which you can't really count on, you can be an aggressive defense, and that's when the balls start flying all over the place. But you can't really count on that. That's just defenses in the right position making key plays in key moments. That's a player thing, not really a design. Hey, we're going to design an interception on this defensive play. No, it doesn't work like that. So if you're not getting that from this defense, you're going to have to be a brick wall. Keep him out of the red zone. Or when he gets to the red zone, buckle down, which they were pretty good this year. Very good. I just think a lot of pressure is going to be on the young quarterback. That will be, if he can pick apart the zone, the Broncos will move on. If he looks lost back there, confused, and running around and running through and thinking there's an opening when there really isn't because you're not sending the dogs every time, you're not playing in man coverage, then I think Bo's going to struggle and the Broncos are going to lose. That's why I'm putting a lot on Bo Nix. Eastside Chris Brady, when it comes time for Bo Nix re-signing, when it comes time for Bo Nix re-signing, can he suddenly become a Walmart greeter for $1 million? Well, that's the thing. Like, this is why the Broncos are in a window right now, because they don't have to pay their quarterback. That only lasts for so long. 43 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, welcome back into the show. I want to thank Lemons Heating and Cooling. Talk to them today. They've got free free estimates available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com, or you can call 970-567-0798. Trust me, I utilize Lemons Heating and Cooling. They service many areas throughout northern Colorado. They take care of the job, man. They get it done right. And that's why when you see their vehicles all over the place, that means people are starting to get the good news that Lemons Heating and Cooling will fix it. When they say they're going to, they're going to do it. 970-567-0798. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Michael, Von Miller, did I send you that clip of Von Miller? Von Miller was talking on a podcast the other day, and he was really, really pumped that Nick Bonito went to bat for him, because somebody had posted, I can't believe there's people actually out there that think Von Miller has had a better career than Myles Garrett. Nick Bonito posted, I'm people. Here's Von Miller quickly on what it would mean to him to play with Nick Bonito potentially.
Tweet read, nostalgia is so funny. There's people who dead ass think Von Miller is better than Myles Garrett. And Nick Bonito said, I'm people. You know what, bro? Come on, man. Y'all make room for me. After the season, y'all make room for me over there with the Denver Broncos, man. I would love to be in that linebacker room and give Nick Bonito all the knowledge that I got, everything that I got, for him to be the best version of himself. Like, it's stuff like that that, like, when you feel, like, loved and appreciated, like, bro, I would love to be a Denver Bronco next season and, like, be in that linebacker room with him and Jonathan Cooper and contribute in any way that I can. Like, contribute in any way that I can to improve those guys. I will contribute to what you are doing. Like, watch you and see the way you play, and any of the knowledge that I have, I will give it to you the same way DeMarcus did for me, Elvis Dumervil did for me, Sean Phillips did for me. I would love to do that for those young guys with the Denver Broncos. Like, and I only need 2 sacks, so it's not like, you know, when he get tired and come out of the game, then I go in the game. You know what I'm saying? I play on the left side. I know he like Jonathan Cooper like to play on the left side too, but they can swap around. So those couple of times throughout the game, I come in, I play on the left side. And
would you sign up for Von Miller in a reserve role next season? Well, we got to get through this one first. 1:50 the time, Michael. Let's get it. What did we learn from today's episode of the whole show? Coming up next on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Will the defense carry the Broncos all the way, or will someone else rise to the occasion? Hear Broncos games and talk on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what?
What do we learn on this episode of the whole show? We learned that Bo Nix better be ready for the Bills not to be aggressive. They're going to sit back and they're going to dare him, in my mind, they're going to dare him to beat him with his arm, not his legs. We also learned that Jordan Seaton has entered the transfer portal, and college sports continues to be what it is. Mike, what'd you learn?
Well, one thing I did not learn was that Von Miller would secretly love to go to the Denver Broncos, because he has stated that before. And many Broncos who have been recent alums would love to come back because it's a good culture.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a secret. Von's been pretty adamant about wanting to come back for Denver. Maybe understand why it wouldn't work, but after Bonito tweeted that out, he's like, dude, I want to be there. It'd be kind of cool. I don't know if Sean Payton would go for it. That'll do it for us, Mike. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.